Lord God, like your Son Jesus, we are a people who have the power to reflect your life and goodness. We need the strength to bear the trials of life and to believe that beyond them there is new life. Deliver us from all that keeps us fearful and help us to discover the power of resurrection. We ask this through our Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. The wicked say, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. Let us see whether his works be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be of the Son of God, God will defend him and deliver him from the hands of his foes. With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. James. Beloved, where jealousy and selfish ambitions exist, there is disorder in every foul practice. But the wisdom from above, first of all, pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconsistency or insincerity. And the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. Where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? It is not from your passion that make war within your members. You covet but do not possess. You kill and envy but you cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask, but do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A Sunday school teacher was telling her student about how some people in the world do good, some do evil things. So at the end of the lesson, she asked, "What if all the people who do good were purple? And what if all the people who do evil were orange? What color do you think you would be?" There was silence. Nobody said anything. Finally, one little girl courageously raised her hand, and she said, "I think I would be streaky." We can all, of course, appreciate her honesty. And we can agree that sometimes, of course, we do good things, sometimes not so good. So today when we heard the first reading, for the Jewish people, it was the same way when we read the Old Testament history. Sometimes they did good things, sometimes evil things. About this book, the Book of Wisdom, from which we heard, was written only about 100 years before Jesus was born. And this book talks about what was happening in the world at that time. Alexander the Great, in the year 333, conquered many territories, especially between India and Egypt. Huge territories. And of course, people who lived there, he told them, you must worship my God or our gods. If not, you will die. So even some Jewish people said, we're going to do what we are asked. We're going to give up our faith, our religion, and worship these false gods. And they said in the first reading how they looked upon those Jews who remained faithful. They're obnoxious. They're setting themselves against our ways. Those words, of course, apply to Jesus because the words talk about this person being condemned and dying because he set himself against the ways of the world. But it was also, of course, directed towards the faithful Jews who said, no, we are going to stay faithful to God and not give up our faith, our religion. So that's how the world looked at them, obnoxious, setting themselves against our way. And we still see that around the world. Goodness is always attacked. Unfortunately, you know, it's up to us. Unfortunately, it will never probably go away. Jesus predicted it, but he also gives us the strength to do something about it. We heard, of course, in the second reading today that James reminded the early Christians how they pray and what they do, that they're so self-ambitious that it creates division among them, not peace. He said, if you sow peace, you will reap peace. If you sow divisions, you will reap divisions. So he said, look, you wage wars. You pray, but you don't ask for the right things. So he said, think about what you're doing, how you live, and correct those ways so you don't go down the wrong path. So those words were, of course, very unpleasant to hear, but very important for the people to hear because it determined their future. Again, what do we pray for? We see wars around us again. Perhaps there will never be a time when there won't be any, but we know the right way. And Jesus shows us the right way. Then in the gospel reading today, we heard how Jesus is journeying to Jerusalem. He is in the territory called Galilee. And on the way to Jerusalem, he predicted his death. He was very honest, saying, this is what will happen to me once we get there. So instead of the apostles, instead of saying to Jesus, how can we help you? We know that this is going to be probably the toughest moments of your life. Instead of saying that, they're arguing among themselves. Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest today? How does the world look at greatness? We know that in sports, for example, pretty much every sport has the GOAT, the greatest of all times, right? Whether it's football, baseball, every sport. That greatness, of course, is achieved by what? Hard work, determination, love of what that person does. But there is also, of course, greatness in the world that is not right. You know, we see that sometimes in celebrities or in people who sometimes accumulate great wealth, not in a very honest way. Yet they're called greatest because of all the successes. Jesus looks at greatness in a different way. He said, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. Servant of all, not just selected few, but of all. And he himself, of course, showed it by his life. Everything he did was to serve the needs of others. All the miracles, all the teachings and preaching he did, it was done with that intent to serve, to help people. That's how true greatness is achieved in Jesus' eyes. So when Jesus said and asked, questioned the apostles, what were you arguing about? They told him honestly. And of course, what did he say to them? He didn't want them to feel that they were not worthy. He didn't want them to think less of themselves. He wanted them to think less of themselves and more of others, of the needs of others, because that was the way they were to minister as he commissioned them. Go into the whole world and preach the good news. Think of others more, less of yourselves. And that's an important message for us to always think of others. Not that we forget ourselves, but we must know the right path, the path to greatness. Because they were probably, you know, first of all, the apostles knew that in their minds the Messiah was to be a powerful leader. So they were thinking, who's going to be first in his cabinet? Who's going to be sitting on his right and his left? That was not what Jesus, of course, had in mind. And as I said, by his life he showed what true greatness is. And at the end, as we heard, he took a child who had no social status, no power whatsoever, no importance. He put the child in their midst and saying, put his arms around the child, saying, if you receive a child like this, in my name you receive me. Why did he do that? Because, as I said, the child had no power, no status, prestige, power, or popularity. It was simple, but willing to learn. So he said, you must wrap your life around my life, around my teachings. If you do that, then you are receiving me. So today Jesus invites us to wrap our minds, our hearts around his teaching about true greatness. And, of course, that's the kind of greatness we should seek. The greatness that will truly be great in the eyes of God. And we know there are so many ways in which this can happen. There is a story of Franciscan brother Philip Kelly. And he shares a story of a group of migrants from Puerto Rico who every year would come to a farm where they would pick tomatoes and other vegetables. And there was this foreman who was in charge of these hundreds of migrants from Puerto Rico. His name was Walter Jensen. And he would organize these groups, you know, that everything went smoothly. He would provide, of course, lodging for them, food, whatever they needed. He would give the shirt of his back to any of them. That's how dedicated he was. He did this for 25 years. Every year these migrants would come to pick vegetables. So after 25 years, he decided to retire. But this group of migrants had a tradition that every December they would draw a family's name that would be sent to Puerto Rico on all paid expenses vacation. So every Sunday they would gather to celebrate the Eucharist and to have dinner together. They would put a $5 and on a piece of paper a family's name to a box. And then in December they would draw a name. So on this, the last December of this man's job, this foreman, this Walter Jensen, he was there at the dinner, and brother Philip Kelly was asked to pick a name from the box. He picked up the name and opened it, and it read Walter Jensen. So everybody was happy. People started dancing and singing, knowing how dedicated he was in their service. But brother Philip Kelly was interested what other names were in the box. So he opened a few other ones. On each of those that he opened, the name was written Walter Jensen. How about it, right? Those people from Puerto Rico, the migrants, acknowledged his service, that he served them all, putting their needs before his own, and rewarded him for that, for his service. That's how it can be done, how simply it can be done. So again, as I said, Jesus didn't want the apostles to think less of themselves. But he wanted them to make sure, he wanted them to understand, look at the needs of others, what you can do for them, preaching the gospel, doing good things for them, both by word, by example, by your deeds. So as we continue with this celebration, let's be thankful that God gives us this part to play in his kingdom. You know the Peanuts comic strip. In one of them, as you know, Charlie Brown has low self-esteem, and he struggles with his low self-esteem for his whole life. So in one of the cartoons, he says to Linus, when I was born, they took one look at me and said, he's not good enough for the part. We should never think that. In fact, we are good enough for the part. Not just good enough, but we are perfect for the part that God has for each one of us. A unique part we are to play on the journey to his kingdom. So let us embrace that part, and let us remember that when we embrace Jesus and his teachings, especially the teaching of true greatness, we will indeed fulfill that part that God offers us.
Thanks for listening to this week's service. To stay up to date on the latest news involving our parish, please visit our website at goodshepherd-sc.org.